Mark chapter 1, verse number 21 says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of Mark, I have been saying for the past couple of weeks, has a lot to say about discipleship. For the past couple of weeks, we have explored the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and already we have gathered some insight into the pace of discipleship, or the place of discipleship in the kingdom of God. Starting with the baptism of Jesus, we see discipleship as this point where life we make a vow to be subject to Christ's transformation. That's change. It represents a reset where we are wiped clean and we begin this life altering journey with Jesus. He is the teacher. He is the master, the rabbi, as the song we just sang. Jesus preaches a message of change. Hence his words recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse number 15. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news," or in the Message translation, "time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." Now, we all acknowledge our difficulty with change. Nevertheless, the Gospel of Jesus is about change. And so last week we considered the narrative of Jesus calling his first disciples, Simon and Andrew and James and John. And their story was impressive in that they heard the simple call of Jesus to simply just come follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. And they left everything and chose to follow Jesus. They put themselves, after making that choice, on a path of transformation, or a path of change enacted by Jesus. Now, these four fishermen went from catching fish for a living to fishing for people as their life's vocation. And when we decide to follow Jesus, we are signing up for reassignment. We will find ourselves being transformed and changed by Jesus, and it will impact the direction of our steps, our goals, and our purpose, our destiny. It all changes when we say yes to Jesus and he reassigns us. This morning, we will continue our exploration in the beginning verses of Mark as we discover another mark of discipleship. I read into your hearing a narrative contained in this fast-paced Gospel of Mark. It's a story that invokes an important mark of discipleship in the kingdom of God. Oh, man. Evil, demons, possession. I have no clue how at a young age of about 6 or 7, I watched a film called The Exorcist. Now, don't think low of my parents. They did not let me watch the film. I am sure I snuck somehow and watched that film. And church, trust me, it was a bad choice because that movie has haunted me ever since I have watched that film. It is indeed a scary horror film. Some would argue that that's one of the films that put the horror in horror film. The movie, if you're familiar with it, is about a 12-year-old girl who was possessed by the devil. And they call priests to come to get rid of the demon or exorcise the devil. I'm actually kind of amazed at our appetite for horror films, particularly films that deal with demon possession. There are other films that deal with that subject, that topic. You know, Rosemary's Baby, The Omen, The Amityville Horrors, about a haunted house, which I'm told is actually based on a true story. And I'm sure that there are other films that have come out in the recent years that some of y'all know about. I haven't watched many of them. But know this, demon possession isn't something that was invented in horror films in the last 50 or 60 years. Evil possession is a repeated scene depicted in the Bible, in Scripture, particularly in the Gospels. Throughout the Gospels, there seems to be this repeated occurrence of Jesus interacting with people who were possessed by demons or some evil force, unclean spirit in our text today. These interactions give rise to all of us paying attention to the presence of evil, whether in the form of demon possession or horrific events. Last year, I think I shared this a couple weeks ago, in the city of Columbus, there were a reported 174 homicides. Now, and I would add a caveat that those are the known homicides. Because surely there are some homicides that people probably don't even know about. That is a horrific figure. And I think already this year, we're up to 15 or 16 homicides in the city of Columbus. On the first day of the new year, it was reported that a father shot and killed his two daughters before turning the gun on himself. There was just a story from last week of a mother from Columbus who said that a voice told her to drive her children down to Houston, and there she murdered one of her kids. Church, forgive me for mentioning these horrific episodes and statistics. I have only one short commentary of these events. That's evil. The practice of occultism is still in full effect. Satan worship, devil worship. Some have given themselves to the dark arts, black magic, and religious programming that peddle in evil. Years and years ago, I heard a story of a deacon in a local Church of Christ in Central Ohio that was dabbling in occultism and had his daughters participating in this devil ritualism. Brother Shannon Williams wrote a song about it called Katie's Secret. It talks about that horror that she went through. I'm reminded of the story of a warlord in Liberia. Liberia is a country in West Africa. It was started by a group of emancipated slaves who went back to Africa and started this country. And in recent years, within the past 30 years, there have been just a series of civil wars, really bloody civil wars. And in these wars, the troops or the fighters are led by some pretty some extremely brutal generals who perform some grotesque atrocities. One of the generals, and generals, they would adopt, they wouldn't use their real names, they would adopt nicknames. And one of the generals, I'm not making this up, and forgive me if this is a little bit offensive. One of the generals, his name was General Butt Naked. And it means exactly what you think it means. He He believed he was following some God, and that he believed that going into battle naked would protect him from getting hit or shot in battle. So the only thing he would wear were combat boots, and he was butt naked. Now, as you can tell, I'm not showing any pictures of the general. I want to keep it clean here in church. But this general, oh my goodness, it even pains me to talk about what this man did. Before he would go into battle, they would kidnap young girls and would sacrifice the girls. And he would recruit kid soldiers to come, and they would, after they sacrificed the kids, they would eat some of the body parts. And covered in blood, they would then go out and kill. It is believed that this general killed over 20,000 people. Church, that's evil. Just a cursory glance at our world would move many of us to admit that evil is all around us. But what is more tragic is that just as the presence of evil is around us, and that there are evil acts that take place, it even seems that there are men, women, and children who are indeed possessed by evil. It's destroying their lives. Many of us see this in the form of drug and alcohol addiction, where people are possessed by addiction, and it seems that they are in the inescapable grip of a force, an unclean spirit, and there is no remedy. Okay, now that everyone is depressed, let me remind you that the Gospel of Mark is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the good news about the kingdom of God. And the good news is on full display. You see, in this story that I read, Jesus encounters a man who is possessed by evil. Jesus is in the synagogue, which seems to be a custom, a tradition of his to go into the synagogue and to teach about God. And perhaps he opens up a scroll from one of the Hebrew texts, the Old Testament, and he begins to teach and expound on those scriptures. And while he's teaching, he's encountered by a man who is possessed, it says, by an unclean spirit. And Jesus is not afraid of the man, and Jesus is not intimidated by the forces that have besieged him. He sees him, he looks at him, and in the middle of his teaching, it seems that the demons interrupted him. And when confronted with this evil, Jesus said to the spirit and the possessed man, "Be silent and come out of him." And while I would never recommend this phrase to be used, and talking to others, if I ever hear my children use this phrase spoken to one another, they know that that would raise the fire level in my spirit. But literally what Jesus said to this demon is, shut up and come out of him. Jesus really showed out and showed his power to combat evil. And for those who follow Jesus, the same power can be demonstrated and enacted in their lives. Whatever evil forces that have come to take residence in your life to wreak havoc and make a lot of noise, there is Jesus right there saying, shut up, leave her alone, leave him alone. This, sisters and brothers, is Jesus's reclamation project. This is where Jesus takes those who were under the spell of another power and exercises that controlling power. And Jesus has the power to take those who have been overwhelmed and overtaken with evil, and he has the power to to put into motion a reclaim project, and he reclaims those who have been subjected to evil and its forces. Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher, and this act is one that gave rise to his popularity in the region. Once people heard about this, his popularity shot through the roof. His ministry was given this description, verse number 27 of Mark. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Jesus, as the source of our discipleship, has authority over evil. He's not just in our lives to teach us some facts and figures. He's in our lives to do some things. And when we invite Jesus to take residence in our lives, we give him authority to rid our house of evil or bad attitudes or bad situations or bad thoughts or evil inclinations. And when a disciple of Jesus allows the authority of Jesus to run rampant in their lives, that allows Jesus to go in and purge that disciple of evil's hold. This is not to suggest that a disciple will never ever sin again. Trust me, I can confess that I still sin. But the more Jesus we embrace, the more his authority reduces our appetite for sin and evil. Church, our encouragement has been from the leadership, from me preaching sermons, teachers in classes. It's been our encouragement to grow closer in our faith with God, and we encourage that for the purpose of you allowing Jesus to tell the demons in your lives, in our lives, shut up, to leave us alone. Jesus is so powerful and so authoritative that he can transform the most evil into instruments of righteousness. Remember General Butt Naked? Well, his real name is Joshua. And Joshua, no doubt, will go down as one of the most ruthless men in the history of the world. But as the story goes, there was a group of preachers in Liberia that saw the brutal atrocities taking place at the hands of these generals. And these preachers had a meeting, and they said, "What can we as people of faith do to these generals or for this situation in civil war?" And the preachers agreed that, you know what, we need to go to these warlords and we need to preach Jesus to them. And so they literally like drew lots, and one preacher got General Butt Naked. And he went to the general's headquarters, and the bodyguard let the preacher in. And the preacher actually stood there in front of that warlord, and he shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the warlord said, "You better get out of here right now. Something's going to happen." The preacher left, and the warlord went to his bodyguard and shot his bodyguard in front of the preacher, shot his bodyguard in the kneecaps. Said, "Don't you ever let that dude come in here again in Liberia, that dude." That was a pretty scary sight. And that was done to make sure that preacher would never come back. That preacher prayed about it, and he went back. He let Joshua tell the story. There came a moment where he was convicted of all the evil and the sin that he had ever committed. He became a Christian. And right now, Joshua is a preacher in Liberia. You might be saying to yourself, "Well, how could a man who committed so many atrocities not be in prison?" Well, there was a truth and reconciliation process that took place in Liberia. There's some different things going on there, and He was basically, he won't receive any jail time yet. There may be, but here's one of the things that he said. He says, if they throw me in prison, I will gladly go. If they sentence me to death, I will gladly accept that fate. There are many people who doubt his conversion. You know, there's always going to be haters and doubters and people who don't think that it's really taken. You know, one of the things that kind of impresses me is that he really has no reason to lie about his conversion, because it's not like his conversion is stopping him from going to jail or stopping him from being executed. What Joshua has done since he became a Christian is he has tried to go to every family that was impacted by his atrocities, and he goes and he begs for forgiveness and he pays restitution. Some of those kid soldiers that he recruited to go kill people, he has now created programs to help them get counseling and get job training so that they will be better people. And he's committed his life to preaching the gospel of Jesus. Maybe that's an example that's just, you know, too far off. It's too unrealistic. But what about right here in Roseburg? I met Jeremy and Bethany several years ago when I was working with a program in town called Summer Raise. Many of you know about Summer Raise. Summer Raise is a program that helps recovering addicts, and it creates housing and atmospheres for them to live sober and to sort of recover their lives. That program was unapologetically a believer in Jesus Christ, and would share with the residents that true healing and freedom from addiction could only come through Jesus Christ. And that's where my association started with them. I would go and preach at their church service once or twice a month. And I met Jeremy and Bethany early on, and I was always just impressed by them. They were always kind. We would always talk after I would speak. And Jeremy is a really, really good drum player. These were probably two of the most popular residents there. As of today, both Bethany and Jeremy collectively are celebrating 17 years of sobriety. I believe 8 for him and 9 for her. And I reached out to Jeremy, and I just wanted him to just share a little bit about their life. And this is what Jeremy wrote to me. He says, since meeting one another and becoming best friends, we continue to work on ourselves to be better than we were the day before. We've repaired relationships with friends and family, continued our education, built successful careers, and took the time to enjoy living life again. We've gotten married. We have two beautiful boys, Noah and Oscar. We bought our first home, and I accepted a permanent position as a front-end web developer for a Fortune 500 company, allowing for Bethany to be a stay-at-home mother for our children. He continues, it's been hard work, it's been stressful, and even been sickeningly scary at times. It is our faith in God and through his help that we've gotten to where we are today. We are far from perfect, but God continues to use us. When we pray for his guidance. We pray for him to get us out of our own way. We pray to help others. We pray for forgiveness. We pray to be better spouses and better parents. Most importantly, we affirm our faith in him, that he will show us the best way forward. We have been truly blessed. Disciples who've been reclaimed by Jesus, and where Jesus is not just teaching them some stuff, Jesus is literally doing some stuff in their lives. Jeremy and Bethany were reclaimed. Jesus has spoken into their situation and told the unclean spirit of addiction, shut up. And now they live as Jesus followers, allowing Jesus to change them as they profess their belief in the good news. Isn't that a good story, church? A true story. Discipleship isn't just about going to class to listen to some stuff. It is opening your life up so that in your life, Jesus can do some stuff. And one need not be perpetually engulfed in evil and all its derivatives. Jesus has come to break spells, to break the chains of evil bondage. He has come to set us free from the devil. He has come to give us a better way than the evil way. He has come to say in unprecedented and unparalleled ways, evil, shut up. Get out of Dion's way. Get out of Barb's way. Get out of Ray's way. Get out of Andy's way. Get out of Diane's way. Jesus has authority to make it happen. And so this becomes the point of discipleship always. There's always a question. It's a choice. There's a question that each and every one of us needs to answer. Will you and I believe in the authority of Jesus to be the solution to our sin problem? Are you possessed with some form of evil, bad news, or bad situation? How can Jesus speak to your life right now? Consider those questions. And it would be my call, any preacher's call, to say, become his disciple. Believe in his message. Repent, or make a decision to change. Confess Jesus to be King, the Lord of your life. Enact a reset in your life. Be baptized if that's what you need to do. If you've not been baptized, and jumpstart the Jesus campaign in your life to do some stuff. The blessing of the kingdom of God is that everyone can be a part of this kingdom. Everyone can become his disciple. Everyone can come to Jesus and be freed from unclean spirits. It stands to reason as we become a disciple of Jesus, as we make a commitment for Jesus to fill our lives with who he is, it stands to reason that what will happen is that, again, our appetite for evil and sin will begin to diminish. And our appetite for the sweet, holy word and presence of God will take precedence. It will take hold. And we will begin to see changes in our lives. We'll begin to think differently. We'll begin to react differently. We'll begin to treat other people differently. We'll love in better ways. The hate that's in our life towards our enemies or towards certain situations, we'll see that begin to subside, because some of us are possessed by that spirit of hate. And we need Jesus to come into our lives and say, shut up. Get out of here. And we'll see our lives change. Everyone needs them. I need them, you need them, the world needs them, that general in Liberia needs them, Bethany and Jeremy need them. We all need him. Everyone needs compassion, kindness of a Savior. We're going to sing a song that speaks about the power and the authority of Jesus to save. And if there is any way that we can be helpful to you through prayer, through companionship, through study, through shared experience. If during this song you feel so compelled, if you're in person, to come forward and make that known, and you want to share that with the church or share that with a shepherd, share that with me, we can hear that, and we will pray for that, and we will be committed to walking alongside you. If you're at home you're watching, you can go ahead and put something in the comments. If you're on the online platform, go ahead and press that request prayer button. That will go to the host, and they will make sure that that gets to the shepherds, and we will pray for you. But this is a time where we all confess our need for Jesus. In a world that is corrupt, in a world that is evil, there is a powerful presence available to each and every one of us who says, I will reclaim you. I will make you into something beautiful. I will wipe evil out of your life, and the change will be remarkable. If there is any way that we can serve you today, please respond as we sing this song of invitation.